In theory and practice, the press and government, I suppose, are meant to be antagonists. It is for this reason that the U.S. Constitution explicitly spells out, and the courts have subsequently strengthened, safeguards for the press and limits on the government's ability to monitor or curtail press activities. But Fox News correspondent James Rosen seems to have been the target of an encounter with government that shows just how many tools the authorities have at their disposal to track reporters and to identify the people who are talking to them. The Department of Justice reportedly tracked Rosen as he came and left the State Department using a security badge they gave him. They monitored his phone activity and got a warrant to look at his personal emails. David Sanger joins us, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, author of Confront and Conceal, Obama's Secret Wars, and Surprising Use of American Power. David, welcome back.
Good to be back with you.
Now, you're not concerned that you're on some sort of Obama watch list there as a reporter for The Times, right?
Well, I'm not concerned about a watch list, but there are certainly investigations underway, including one that they've announced into the book you just described in the articles that I wrote from those. The things that they did with James Rosen in a case which actually goes back a few years now, you would expect them to do some of them, for example, looking at when he used his electronic badge to get in and out of the State Department and so forth. And we all move between the White House and the State Department and so forth and know that those movements are recorded electronically. I think what's most concerning is secretly going after subpoenaing email traffic without giving a news organization the opportunity to challenge that subpoena. Because under the Justice Department's own rules, they're only supposed to go after reporters' records, notes, or testimony after every other option has been exhausted.
And is this prior notification built into the Justice Department's guidelines, some sort of Supreme Court case law, that sort of thing?
It's built into their own guidelines after a number of cases that date back to the 70s. But these guidelines have emerged over the years, and they've got a few loopholes into them. And the AP case that we heard about last week involved the invocation of one of those exceptions in which the Justice Department went off and obtained the call records of the number of AP bureaus and individuals, again, without notifying the AP and thus giving them a chance to challenge it.
Now, these exceptions seem to be related to national security issues. I'm wondering if what we're seeing here is an Obama administration attempting either explicitly or by default a kind of broad national security exclusion to the traditional First Amendment rights of the press that dates from essentially a 9/11 mission to try to figure out who might be talking to reporters and who might be related to terrorist networks of some kind around the world.
Well, that was certainly one of the big issues during the Bush administration. Look, national security reporting raises the most complex legal issues, and there are absolutists about it who say that there should be no balancing, the First Amendment should always rule. There are absolutists on the national security side who say, look, national security has to take precedence over any First Amendment rights. The reality is that when you look at the case law, it's a balancing act that goes on throughout most of the cases. The question here is, who do you want to have do that balancing? And if it's done entirely by the Justice Department, you know how the balance is going to sort out. It won't be much of a balance at all. Now, look, I do reporting for a living, and I do national security reporting for a living, but I can tell you that on the government side, there are people concerned that in the end, it's newspapers and news organizations that retain the sole rights over what in the end we decide to print, even if we get involved in lengthy negotiations with the government over what's truly dangerous or not. And most responsible news organizations do get involved in those talks over sensitive stories.
And we should note that once upon a time in the 20th century, a lot of big news organizations and the government were almost nearly in bed together in terms of sharing notes and talking to each other about various national security stories. That's really been one of the extraordinary changes over the last 3 to 4 decades.
It is. I mean, there's a famous story from New York Times lore that during the Bay of Pigs operation, the Times kept out of the paper a story that basically would have revealed the Bay of Pigs operation because it was an imminent operation. And President Kennedy later called up Scotty Reston, the New York Times bureau chief at the time, and said that invasion turned out to be the biggest mistake of, you know, his young presidency at that time, and he wished the Times would have run the story. He was more vivid about it than the way I just put it. So there was a very different era, and I think that the era that we've headed into is much healthier. That said, there are times when we withhold stories on national security grounds for a period of time. I held a story for 3 years about the covert American program to help secure Pakistan's nuclear weapons because the Bush administration made a convincing case that to advertise the vulnerabilities of Pakistan's weapons would have been to provide a roadmap for the Taliban to come in and grab them. We understood that. But there have been many other stories that we have not withheld, or where we have just removed a few details that could have endangered somebody's life or an ongoing operation.
Finally, does the Rosen case smack of intimidation to you, or is there a specific sort of content issue in the balance here?
I think all these cases smack of intimidation, to some degree intimidating the reporters, but really trying to intimidate government officials and to make the case to government officials that they should never, ever be talking to reporters unless specifically authorized to. And that's what I think is most damaging. I think the second most damaging part is that it's eroding whatever channel of trust there was so that you can get involved in discussions with the government on a particularly sensitive story about what could truly be damaging. And keeping that channel open, I think, is quite vital if you're going to have a system where you have a free press and yet the government can make a case to delay some detail or not because it could endanger somebody's life.
Chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, David Sanger, is author of Confront and Conceal, Obama's Secret Wars and Surprising Use of American Power. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.